Turn to the book of Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 24. It's going to be sort of a two-way sermon this morning, and I am closing out the Living in the End Times. I forgot what the series was called, Living in the End Times, but I remember. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible for you, in the front of you, and behind you. I always tell my young people, if you're tempted to scroll through your phone, grab a hard copy of the Bible, because the phone is not going to get you to heaven. Amen, amen. But the Word of God is there forever. So if you're like Temptation City, just be honest with yourself and say, okay, I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 24. And when you're there, go saints. Get it? Like saints of God, the saints of, I mean, and the literal saints too. Amen. Who that? And so we're looking, you know they're going to win today against, who are they playing? Y'all all know. The Packers. And so I knew that. Today's message is called Watching and Waiting. Watching and Waiting. For me, if you've noticed, Pastor Ted has preached the entirety of the series. Two reasons. I have had this terrible cough that I have been here for like 2 months. So please pray. I'm praying that the Lord will deliver me and I will not cough during the sermon. And then also, I am not an end times guru. I am not. This is not my forte. Some people ask me questions about the end time, and I always just say, if you need a healing, go and let Pastor Ted pray for you. Not that God can't use me in healing, but he has used Ted to like heal, like cancer gone, you know, that kind of stuff. So you should get him to pray for you. And if you need something about the end times, you should go to Pastor Ted too. I always say that. And so when, as I was thinking about the end times, and I said, okay, Ted, I'm going to preach one sermon of this series, and then I'm done. I'm out. And I was thinking there are two kind of people about the end times. There is the enthusiast. Do you know what I'm talking? And this is a very nice word that I'll use. This is sort of funny. Maybe you are the enthusiast. Everything to them is about the end times. I used to work at rallies on the east side. Have I ever worked at rallies on the east side? I worked at rallies. I flipped burgers and did things, cha-ching. And if you know, you know. And so I used to work at rallies, and there was a combo that would come out to $6.66. And there, and it was like a very popular combo. I worked back in the day. And so they, anytime that number would come up, like people in the loud system would be, oh, like six, yeah, it's $6.66. Can I give you $6.67? Sure. You could give me an extra dollar. You could give me a tip. That sounds good to me. And so, and they would just freak out because it was like, oh my goodness, that's the devil's combo. You know, you cannot eat it. Clearly the devil's combo. You know people like this. Y'all know people like this. And so, maybe you are. So I'm picking on you. It'll be all right. The solar eclipse is coming. You know that the solar eclipse is coming, and the sun's going to be covered, and there are people will be like, oh my goodness, we're at the end times. The sun is coming, the moon too. Give me 2 weeks, the rapture's coming. Some people will be like, did I hear a trumpet? Like that, the high school band has a trumpet section, and I know I'm waiting on a trumpet. I mean, they're playing Go Gators, but it might be the return of the Lord. And so they got people anytime, like, I'm only going to church if the pastor preaches on Revelation. Any other time, I'm only coming Christmas and Easter, but if he preaches on Revelation, I'm there. I'm going to call those people the enthusiasts. Like, y'all are like waiting for the end times, and like y'all are waiting more than I'm waiting, and y'all have it down. So congratulations. Now there are other people, and unfortunately I tend to be on this side, the apathetic. And that's the people like, I don't really know that much about the end time, so I'm just going to stay with what I understand. You know, like I know Jesus. And then there'll be the people like, well, I mean, things aren't really that bad, right? I mean, remember Sodom and Gomorrah, fire from heaven. You know, God burnt those people. And I mean, they were bad, so it's not that bad yet. And there'll be people that will be like, I mean, there was World War II, there was World War III. They probably thought the end time was then, so maybe World War III. And there's people like, Revelation's hard for me. And John, the person who writes John, like, he might have, you know, like maybe he was just literary, or maybe it was just a vision, or maybe he was like stranded on an island and he started having hallucinations, and then we just get really confused and we don't know what he was thinking. And in this past series, I'm sitting and Pastor Ted, he knows it. Like, y'all, he knows the end times. And I'm like, I'm listening to him. He has calendars on the end times of like waiting for this and that. And I'm just sort of like, I just need to get my kids fed today. You know, like that's it. That's where I'm at. Like, I don't know. And so, and as I'm listening to him, the Lord sort of spoke to me in my spirit, not audibly, but just in my spirit. And he said, you know what, Tara? Because I always lean toward, okay, I know it's coming, but I don't know much about it. I'm trying to understand God, but I'm unclear in some of the things that I think. And it's confusing with Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation. And now Matthew chapter 24. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, you know what? He said, the prophecies in the Old Testament seemed unbelievable to those in the Old Testament. And I thought about that. And I was thinking over the prophecies that we now believe. Let me give you some examples. For Micah 5:2, he is a prophet. And here's what he prophesied. He said, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, he says, out of you will come for me one who will be what? Ruler. Somebody say ruler. There'll be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old and from ancient times. Now, clearly, because we live on, let's just say this is the side of Jesus that we live on. We live here, right? We know that out of Bethlehem, who comes? Jesus. You should know that. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. You remember that song? We know that out of Bethlehem comes Jesus, but when they're reading it in the Old Testament, here's what happens. They have no idea. Nothing good comes out of Bethlehem. That was the running statement. There was nothing that was going to come good out of Bethlehem. Let me give you another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 14. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will be with child, and he will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. Can you imagine living in the Old Testament and you're thinking there has never been a virgin that will give birth to a child because something has happened somewhere in the secret places? Can I get an amen? And so they're looking at this prophecy, and I can imagine they're looking at these guys who were enthusiasts and saying, y'all are crazy. But they're looking at the people that are apathetic and saying, there is something that is coming. And now we celebrate it as the birth of Jesus. And everybody on this side of the cross is like, it's Christmas. Of course there was a virgin who had a birth. And now we see that there was a sign. And then we know that in John 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. So we know his name was Emmanuel. Why? Because we're living on this side. We're living on the side of the cross, and so everything that we see is from a picture of that has already happened. Let me give you a non-spiritual example. Titanic. It will never sink. The ship that cannot be sunk. And they were living on this side of the Titanic. And when they get into the boat, what do they think? It's a ship that will never be sunk. However, because we live on this side of the Titanic, anytime I watch a Titanic, what am I waiting for? The ship to sink, to fall, to cut in half, for the little orchestra to play. Yeah, na, 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 na. And you see that happening. Why? Because we live on this side. And so when we hear these prophecies and we hear these things that are spoken about the end times, and we get a little bit confused and you're like, I don't know about that. It's because we live in this world, but what has happened has not happened yet. Does that make sense? So the Lord began speaking that to me, and he said, Terry, you need to wake up And you need to pay attention to the signs of the times. I'm not saying, you know, freak out if something turns out $6.66. It's going to be all right. I serve a risen Savior. But there is a time. And some of the preachers that I admire and respect and they've lived for Christ are starting to say some things. They're starting to say the same thing. Not to freak anybody out, but that is saying to be aware, to be waiting, to be watching. To understand the times that we're in. And I know that there's been all kinds of wars and rumors of wars. But at the same time, there's a position of our heart that we are to be watching and we are to be waiting. See, in Luke 2, are you there? Turn to verse 22. I know you're there because I said about 10 minutes ago you should go there. So Luke 2 in verse 22, there were two people that were waiting for the Messiah. And it says in verse 22 of chapter 2, and when the time came, somebody say, that. And when the time came. See, there is a timing. So from Malachi until Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, there was a 400-year waiting spell where they were waiting for things and puzzle pieces to fit and little things to happen. Why? So the Messiah could come out of Bethlehem, born of a virgin, and fulfill 60 other prophecies that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And here are two people that are like, we are not going to be left behind. I will see the Messiah. Look at it says in verse 22, and when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up from Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now we're talking about Jesus. They're bringing Jesus. And in verse 24, it says, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, of two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Somebody say Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for Jesus, y'all. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. That's interesting. Come into the Spirit and come into the temple. Come in on time. In fact, come in at 9:30 and start praying and say, God, I want to be in the Spirit at 10 o'clock when the first worship song hits. And it says, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed them and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your words. For my eyes have what? Have seen your salvation that you have prepared for me in the presence of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people. And his father and his mother, Jesus' mom and dad, marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, for that sign is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess. Somebody say prophetess. Anna. So we see Simeon, and then we see Anna, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years. From when she was a virgin and then as a widow until she was 84. So she's old and she's a widow. And she did not depart from the temple worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And she came up that very hour and she began to give thanks to God and speak to him of all who were waiting. Somebody say waiting. They were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. What are we to be doing? Waiting. See, Anna and Simeon knew, I'm waiting for Jesus. I'm waiting and I'm watching for Jesus. On this side of the Old Testament, they had an understanding that Jesus was coming. And now we call it Christmas, and now we call it Easter. So what are we, the saints of the living God, supposed to be doing 2,000 years after the death of Christ? We are to be watching, and we are to be waiting. Guys, it's the commandment on our lives is that we have an assignment to be waiting for the Lord's return. We're watching for the Lord's return. We're looking for the signs and we're saying, God, we don't want to be left behind. And I know that was a book series that went way too long. But the truth is that we are to be in a waiting position. See? And so the same Jesus in his word in Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew 24. As we wait, we are to live in eager anticipation, looking soon for the return of Jesus. It's the position is anticipation. It's excitement. It's like we're waiting like Anna who said, I'm going to wait in the temple. It's like Simeon who said, I'm waiting to see the Messiah before I die because the Lord gave me a word. So the position of our heart is to be watching and to be waiting. Matthew 24, we're going to read the whole thing. Are you ready? Say amen. If you're not looking at a Bible, look at a Bible because that way you know I'm not making this up. Guys, I want to cover this as we end out our series. It says Jesus left the temple. I'm so encouraged that it is Jesus. It's not a prophet Daniel. It's not Ezekiel. It's not Revelation. These are words from Jesus's mouth about how we are to wait and to watch. Jesus left the temple and he was going away and his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. And he answered them. He said, you see all these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will be not one left here, stone upon another, that will not be thrown down. In week one, we said, Pastor read this. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of age. And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Since Pastor has preached this message 2 weeks ago, there was a flood that came into Libya and wiped out 20,000 people in one day. There was an earthquake in Morocco. That was since 2 weeks, and that's just the things that I'm current on. It says that in verse 10, it said, well, let's go back to 9. It says, well, let's go back to 8. And it says, all these things are but the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Week 2, we said in verse 15, we went over this. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. I know the Lord prefers mountains over beach. Hallelujah. It says in verse 17, let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on Sabbath. So pray, pray. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor will ever be. And in those days, had they not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders as to lead you astray. If possible, even the elect. See, Jesus says, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Or if they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. And today's reading in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light. And the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And there will appear the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven and to the other. But concerning the day, we're just going to keep on reading. It says, an hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor even the Son, but the Father only. For as we were in the days of Noah, so will we be coming out of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, remember, they were eating and drinking and they're marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came in and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and he would have not have left his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over the household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whose master will find him so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, well, my master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow servants, and he eats and he drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces, and he will put him with the hypocrites, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Chapter 25, give me a couple more minutes. Give the word of God a couple more minutes. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who take their lamps, and they went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, and they all became drowsy, and they slept. But at midnight there was a cry, and it says, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for my lamp is going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there is not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy it for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went into him, into the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know. Watch, therefore, somebody say watch. For you know neither the day nor the hour. Can we pray real quick? And I'm going to ask you just to listen to a story. God, we ask that we would be found watching and waiting. God, we've read through the holy word of God, what you have said, Jesus. God, we understand that we are living on this side of prophecy. God, we understand that there have been some words through Daniel and men like Ezekiel and John the Revelator. And God, every one of them says the same thing, to watch and to wait. God, help us to understand that in Jesus' name. Would you turn down the lights just a little bit? In my hand, if you look at me, amen. I said amen, sorry I didn't say amen. I bought a tiki torch from Walmart yesterday. These are hard to find at Walmart. I don't know if we have a Walmart worker. I found this on the west side. And so as we were looking through tiki torches, and as I was reading that scripture about the 10 virgins, which just sounds so incredibly weird to us living in 2023. And you're like, golly, Tara, I mean, that's like, I've heard the word virgin like 10 times now in church this morning. And I thought about it, and I looked it up, and I want to tell you this. Historically, when there was a wedding, I love weddings. Weddings are fun. Wedding food is the best, y'all. And I always want to crash a wedding, and my husband says no. But weddings are good. And historically, in describing a first century Jewish wedding, D.A. Carson, in his Expositor's Bible Commentary, he says, normally, the groom, with some close friends, would leave his home, and they would go to the bride's home. Now, they would do this at night. They didn't go out in the middle of the day. He would take his friends, and they would head. Now you got to understand that parties, especially weddings, would last for days. Like, ours last for like 3 hours because we rent a hall, and it's really expensive, and the preacher, and then we're done, right? And everybody goes home, but not in Jewish culture. So in Jewish culture, the groom would take some of his best friends. That's sort of like a bachelor party, but can imagine a Christian one. Amen, hallelujah. And so they would take torches. And a lot of times we think of, there would be a lamp, right? A lamp. But in historical times, to light the way, they would have these torches. And most of the time, they would take a rag filled with oil. Now, Ted said I can't do that this morning because I'm not to be trusted. And it's true. It's very true. And so they would take a rag, and you've probably seen this in some of the old movies, right? And what they would do is they would soak their rag with oil. Now, in my little can, I forgot the oil, so I put in Crisco this morning. You know Crisco. Vegetable oil. It's probably going to be terrible. And so Luana is here with us. And so and they would put the oil, and they would soak the rag, or maybe they'd have a little container of oil. And what they would do is the groom would take the torches. But also on the opposite end, there would be the bridegroom, the bride. And she also would take her friends. And they would go to the groom's house, or they would wait for the groom to come to their house. And guess what they also had? Torches. As they were waiting for the groom and his friends to show up at the party so they could get married. Now imagine Jesus as he's closing out his end time stories, and he's saying, be waiting and be watching. There's going to be war. There's going to be rumors of war. And he's talking about these different signs, and he says to be waiting for the signs, and he's looking at this, and then to close it out, he gives a story. Now, in that culture, they would have clearly understood what Jesus was saying. The groom was coming, and the bride was waiting. In our story, Jesus is the groom, and we are the bride. Where the Bible says we are the bride of Christ. Now, in that story, there are 10 ladies waiting for the party to come, for the feast to come. And the Bible says this. It says that 5 ladies were foolish and 5 ladies were wise. Why? They all had torches, but only 5 had enough oil to get them through the night. Why? Because they were waiting and they were watching. They understood that the groom might be delayed. They understood that he was walking from his house to their house, and there might be some things that it might have gotten in the way. And in our example, the groom is coming. He said he would. He says, behold, I'm going to prepare a place for you and for the Father. And he says, I'm going to return. Wait for the signs. And there are some of us in the room, and we're watching, and we're waiting, and we're excited. And others of us, our oil is running out. Do you know in the Bible, the oil, remember Elijah? And there's that widow. She's running out of oil. And what does he do? He pours the Spirit of God, and there's more oil. Do you remember when King David was anointed as king? What does Samuel do? He goes and pours what? He pours oil. You know, when that, you can keep on playing that. Do you remember whenever whenever Jesus comes. And there's a woman, and what does she do? She anoints his feet with sweet perfume or oil. Oil is always an example of the Holy Spirit. You don't have time to purchase this and imagine if this is real oil when Jesus comes. It says that. He says they heard the groom and they said, please, will you give me some? Will you let me take off my lantern? Let me get some oil, the five foolish ladies said. But he says there was no time for that because I won't have enough for myself. They say, go buy some more. But you notice that they don't have time to go and buy. The purchase is now. You can't make a purchase when Christ returns. You have to make the purchase now so that you will be found watching and waiting when Jesus comes. Guys, when I read the end of the story of this parable that Jesus says, he says afterward, the other ladies came and they said, Lord, but he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Can we switch it to the slide, another slide with just the worship set? Guys, I was thinking about this as I was looking at this, and I was looking at this. You know, have you been filled with the oil and the Spirit of God? See, that's not when he comes. It's now. See, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit now. And I think what happens is sometimes, and I think even in the scripture you can see this, Jesus was anointed and he was baptized, but he was constantly being filled with the oil of the Lord. Paul, he gives his life to Christ, but then you see there are times where he calls out to God and he's saying, now I'm watching and I'm waiting again. And I think in our lives what happens is it's like, well, I've gotten saved 5 years ago. Oh, I knew the Lord 10 years ago. And we sort of we cop out and we say, okay, well, that's good enough. But the Bible says, and Jesus says this, he says, no, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. He says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want to give oil, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that oil. I want you to take your lantern, and could you open this for me? I'm just going to have my husband open that, because I can't do two things at one time. And so open that, and here's what Jesus says. He says, can you just turn around right there, and can you begin to pour that oil into the lantern? He says, I want to fill you over and over and over again. I want you to be watching. I want you to be waiting. And if your oil is getting low this morning, and there are times in my life where my oil has gotten low, there are times in my life where the position of my heart was not waiting on Jesus. And I'm not saying you can't go watch football this afternoon. It's our position of our heart. It's not that we can't have and enjoy good things in this world, but watching and waiting is a position of my heart where I'm saying, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit again. God, give me a refreshing again. God, give me the power of God again. And God, whenever you come, whenever that time is, here's what I want to be found. I want to be found watching, and I want to be found waiting. I want my lantern. I don't know if this is going to work. Can you do this? Do you think it's going to work? He says, no, it's not going to work. Is there a way that you could light this lantern? We're praying that this oil will work, because I couldn't find the other oil at Walmart. Here he goes. We don't know. But you know the oil of the Holy Spirit? He doesn't come out. He gives and he gives. And he gives. And he keeps on flowing over and over. And guys, whenever that oil comes from the Holy Spirit, he says, I'm going to allow you to be watching and waiting. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Let me ask you a question. Is your lamp lit? I'm not asking if it was. My lamp right now, it's not even trying. But I'm asking, is it now currently? Are you in a position of watching and waiting, and you're saying, okay, Lord, I understand the scriptures. I understand. You don't have to understand everything about the end times, because it's really a position of your heart is saying, God, I am waiting for your coming. God, I am watching. God, I'm going to be like Anna. I'm going to be like Simeon. God, my heart's desire is that I would understand the times that we are living in. And today, if you just need fresh oil, would you just stand to your feet right where you are? If you just need a fresh pouring of the Holy Spirit, you know you're dry. Would you stand up, somebody? And if you know that and you say, that's just me, you're not, every head bowed, eye closed, I'm not calling you to the front, but you just know that your lamp's not like it should be. Somebody else. I always tell our young people, it's like we go to camp and then we lose the fire. And the Holy Spirit says, but you don't have to. You could continue. I could keep on refreshing. I could keep on pouring out. I could make you so that you're watching and you're waiting. Anybody else? Just stand up and say, would you just lift your hands up if that's you and you're standing up? I just so believe that the Lord can refresh us. I believe that the Lord can fill us to overflowing. I believe that he can cause us to be watching and to be ready and to be waiting. And so today, if you're standing and your hands are, can you just begin to ask the Lord to fill you? Just in your own language and in your own way, just say, Lord, would you fill me? Come on, you need to speak out loud. Would somebody just speak? Say, Lord, would you fill me again? Jesus. Just begin to talk to him. He's probably already spoken to you. You know what they were doing? All those people were waiting. They were listening, watching the word, reading the word. They were in worship. They were doing the things of God. Remember those things that you did at first, the Bible says in Revelation. It says, and do them again. Go back to the word. Go back to worship. Go back to prayer. Begin to ask the Lord to fill you again. Lord, with our hands raised, God, would you fill us again with your spirit? God, we don't want to be like the foolish ones, Lord, of this world that are just sort of acting like nothing's happening. But God, rather help us to be wise. God, the position of our heart, we want to be watching. God, we want to be waiting. God, we want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit over and over again. God, we want a fresh anointing. God, a fresh filling of your spirit. God, when we walk out of these doors this morning, God, that we would know you again. We would know you, the God of the word, again. God, that we would be ignited again. God, light a fire. Can you say that? Say, God, light a fire in me. God, light a fire, God, in us as we walk out of these doors, Lord God, that we would be on fire for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, Lord, that we would have a passion again for the lost. God, for the dying, God, that we would serve again, Lord. God, that we would read your word and it would come alive to us again. God, that we would spend time in prayer. God, believing again, God, that you are the God of the impossible. God, the same God of Elijah, the same God that fulfilled Old Testament prophecies is the same God who will fill New Testament prophecies. And God, that we have the power of a risen Christ living on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, fill us. Can you just say that? Holy Spirit, would you fill us again with your power to be a witness to all those that I reach. And God, help me fill my lamp with your oil and your spirit. Help me to be found watching, and help me to be found waiting. In your name we pray. Give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. We love you. We know that the Lord fills you. And we can't wait to see you this Wednesday at 6:30. So y'all go and have a wonderful day and just be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.